Chapter 5, Into the Fold. Damien felt the breath he had been holding tumble out of him as his father walked up the stairs. His body trembled as he heard the steel door open and then close again as Malus departed. With shaking hands, he pulled out the pocket watch and timed it. Flustered as he was, Damien was still able to remember the conditioning he had put himself through for this day. He had prepared over the last 2 years, but had spent the last week narrowing down to the last second his father's schedule. Damien knew without a doubt that in a few minutes his father would be outside on the balcony, smoking cherry vanilla tobacco in his long pipe. With the roaring winds of Burroughs Brawn just loud enough to mask the sound of the door. Gaining the courage to move from the corner, Damien stood and hurried up the stairs. 5 seconds, he thought to himself as he checked the timepiece, needing to be exact. Now! The thought screamed in his head as he moved forward and pushed the hook up, noting that the lantern no longer hung on it. The steel door slid into its home and Damien quickly jumped through, pulling the hook down as fast as he could, the wall closing behind him. The hair on the back of his neck stood on end as the door slid back into place. He turned around and was met with the empty study. Damien let out a sigh and hurried to the pantry, pulling out a jar of cherries. Carrying them with him, he walked out to the balcony where his father was standing. Malus had his back to him, the great expanse of Burroughs Brawn before them. The city may have been a poor one, but a view like theirs was still breathtaking, and rivaled by few in the kingdom. Perhaps I did get away with it. He flirted with the idea as he quietly set the jar on the table. Enjoying the view, sir? Damien asked, amazed he had gotten this far without his father turning around. Sir. Malus spun around quickly at Damien's words, his right hand holding the pipe, the long stem just inches from his mouth. The smoke wafted furiously and formed a cowl-like cloud behind Malus. The look on his face made Damien think he had caught his father at a bad moment. Perhaps he had just been feeling secure in his own home and had let his guard down. Once noted, Damien was certain Malus would never allow it to happen again. After some time, Malus brought the stem back to his mouth and nodded. The women are requesting more wages. Yes, I read your report, Malus said before taking a long draw from his pipe and exhaling, sending multiple smoke rings floating through the air. This time, it is for their children. Malus turned away from him and back to the city before them. Children. I always have hated them. Damien was taken aback. But father, how can you hate them when you sired me? Malus turned around at the question and stared, considering Damien as his eyes scoured him up and down. Ah, yes. But you are so much older now, and we get along so much better. A sentiment I wish your mother was still around to witness. Silence hung in the air. The comment was bittersweet. On one hand, hearing his father thought they got along better consoled him, but thinking of his mother only stung. It had only been a week since she used her last word, ending her life without notice. Speaking of sweet Janine, what did she tell you as to why I was away so long? That you were a servant of Maxtrot, that he sent you to represent Minehort and Rant and other lands. Over the years, Damien had come to spot holes in the story, but his father asked what she had told him, not what he believed. His father gave a half-smile that surprisingly seemed genuine. Your mother, what a lovely woman, and quite a fantastic liar. The response hit Damien hard. He had reserved his suspicions, but to be told so casually that she had simply lied, hurt. Perhaps it would have served him better to never learn the truth. Why must I be your son? He questioned, not for the first time. Sit, Damien, Malus said, with a softer tone as he sat in one of the leather chairs on the balcony and motioned to the other. Damien sat. Your mother did not love me for my looks, nor did she marry me for my personality. Father, I do not under... Damien started. You will, Malus interrupted. She loved me for my ambition. Loved me for my ideals, for my determination. She did not marry me for the man that I was, but the man she knew I would become. I left your mother to care for you alone because at the time, I could not provide for you in this city. We did not live in the city until you came back. We lived in Sitar for 15 years, Damien said with an even and calm voice. He was impressed that his anger had not seeped through. Again, I could not provide for you at the time, Malice said, his tone dropping a bit. Damien stiffened slightly in response. Son, you've been living with me for the last 5 years. What can you tell me of my business here? Why? Damien asked abruptly. It felt odd every time that Malice called him son. His father smirked as he took another draw from his pipe. Your mother and I decided long ago that we would wait until your 20th before you would study underneath me. And besides, you seemed quite eager to learn about what it is that I do when you followed me down the stairs, Malice said as he looked up and stared at Damien intently. Damien shifted in his seat uncomfortably, fear rising inside of him. Relax, Damien. I knew that I could only keep it hidden from you for so long and that this time would come. You now have the opportunity to prove yourself and gain my forgiveness. So tell me, son, what have you learned? And start with the birth of my business. The brothels? Damien asked. Malice nodded. Damien swallowed the lump that had started to form in his throat and continued with confidence. Most would consider that brothels a front for your real enterprise, but to say so would be flawed. You may get your powers from the words, but your wealth comes from the brothels. He paused, waiting for his father's response. Malice stared back at him intently, no sign of an opinion on his face. The brothels were how you cemented your hold over the city. When you came here, you set up brothels of the highest quality, establishments with the best food and fantastic service with an added bonus. Women that rivaled any other. Giving 10% of your earnings to the city council was your smartest move. Why wouldn't they want you here? And the fact that you were known for orchestrating the greatest brothels brings in so many outside royals and politicians, generating even more revenue for the city. Malice remained silent as he set his pipe down and undid the lid on the jar of cherries. Pulling one out, he popped it in his mouth and pulled the stem. Why this city? He asked as he bit into the cherry and swallowed slowly. Most every cherry naturally had a pit, but Malice's particular taste had Damien obtaining them specifically from trees in the Silent Forest. The magic there had given birth to many trees that bore no fruit. Kitar City would better suit a rich man like yourself, but not one who has acquired such wealth in the ways that you have. My choice would have been between Bakri and Burrow's Brawn because of the trade routes to Withersteel, where I could easily import spoken writing. Burrow's Brawn would have been the obvious choice for me, as it was for you, because it is poor. No one would question what is going on here, because no one comes here. Even now, when people travel all over Meinhort to visit your brothels, no one questions it, because you own Burrow's Brawn and everyone who runs it. Malice sat back in his chair and again stared at Damien. Damien stared back. On his face, he tried to maintain a look of confidence. On the inside, he was trying to process how he had responded to his father so calmly. Felt like an eternity before his father spoke. Very well, he said as he popped another cherry in his mouth and stood. Tonight, I want you to get a taste of what it is I do. Some first-hand experience, he said as he made his way back into the study, Damien following. Farron, bring Damien his new robe. Malice called out as he rang the bell on his desk. Damien watched as a short and stout servant made his way into the room, carrying a black silk robe on his arm. The man had practically raised Damien most of his life, whenever his mother had been unable. As you asked, sir, Farron said as he raised the black robe into the air. The other way, Farron. Damien will need to stand out tonight. Farron nodded and turned the robe inside out, revealing a beautifully rich white silk robe. Damien was surprised to see that it was an exact replica of the robes that Malice wore. Of the robes his father wore, albeit shorter, emblazoned with their family sigil, the phoenix, large and proud at the center, and with smaller variants scattered along the fabric. When he had first asked his father why he wore a robe of two colors, Malice said that it served an important purpose. While wearing the white robe, he was the most recognizable man in Burrow's brawn. But with a flourish of the wrist, he was undistinguishable from the shadows. One of his father's many lessons: to be completely unforgettable until the moment you wish to be forgotten. It seemed that tonight, his father wished for him the former. "Take this to order," Malice said as he handed Damien a satchel that Farron had fetched while the boy had been admiring the robe he was now wearing. Order was the name of the Eastern brothel. Malice had made a habit of naming his establishments after the 13 divinities and basing their themes around them. And although there were those who saw it as a bastardization of their faith, many were drawn there because of it. Although chaos was their most profitable, Malice preferred to do most of his business out of order, mainly for the reason that the staff prided themselves on being well-behaved, and for the fact that it was the closest to the trade route. "Take this," his father said as he handed over a slip of paper. "It has everything you would need to know on it." Damien glanced down at the paper. On it were written instructions detailing what he was supposed to do and the proper answers to the questions he would be asked. Damien nodded and turned to leave when his father called to him. "Damien, keep your wits about you. Vivian has a nasty habit for illusions." One glance back cemented what Damien had expected to see. A large grin plastered on Malice's face, stretching its way from ear to ear. As Damien walked along the dirt road, he found it hard not to notice all the eyes that followed him. It didn't surprise him much. In a city like Burrow's Brawn, anyone wearing clothes as rich as his was bound to draw the same amount of attention. To be fair to the people gawking at him, his father was the only one who carried the phoenix seal on his robes, an unmistakable totem. "Well played," Damien thought as he continued, realizing that although his father trusted him enough, evident by the leather satchel that hung from his shoulder, he still wanted to stack the odds in his son's favor. Having Damien wear the white robes made him stand out and made him look like Malice. And with that on one side, even a rabid animal could accomplish the task. The power his father held over the city could be seen every time he met the gaze of someone he passed on the street. They all stared at him. It was obvious, for they did not try to be discreet about it. But the second he stared back, their gaze fell. In some he saw a pure fear, while in others he saw what he assumed was respect. As he opened the door to order, most of the people immediately looked at him. Their attention was grabbed and held by the white robe, but thrown in another direction the moment their eyes fell to his face. If Malice had been standing in his place and the people were aware, no one would have gone back to what they were doing. But that was not the case, and everyone let him pass unbothered. Damien was thankful for that. Being around that many people alone raised his anxiety. If everyone had continued to stare at him, he feared how he would fare. He made his way past a group of guards enjoying a drink, politicians and nobles entertaining the woman they sat with, and beggars spending the small amount of coin they had acquired. Making his way up to the bar, Damien requested the bartender's attention. "What can I do for—" The bartender stopped mid-sentence as he saw Damien in the robe that he wore. "Well, this is a bit unexpected." "All right, let's hear it," he said as he sat the glass in his hands down, quickly recovering. Damien recalled the line he had studied from the slip of paper, hearing it in his mind how he had prepared to deliver it. "Tonight, I send my bishop in my place," Damien said, trying to stay as confident as possible. The bartender nodded, his expression softening. "Your father told me this day would come. Just had to make sure today was that day. Will you be having Malice as usual?" Damien nodded. "Vivian will do quite nicely tonight." The man handed him a golden key and Damien departed, headed up the stairs. Walking down the dimly lit hallway, he went all the way to the end before stopping at a door. Unlocking it, he entered and closed the door behind him. "Vivian?" he asked as he turned around. His thoughts stopped as he saw the woman before him. Her skin was pale and her hair was blonde. Her face was smooth and beautiful, large hazel eyes staring out at him. She wore a see-through nightgown and wore nothing else underneath. "Sorry," she apologized, a wave of energy rippling through the room as the illusion vanished. In reality, her skin was far more tan, her hair brown, and she was dressed in a black nightgown that covered her modestly. Can never be too safe. Marvin down at the bar is trustworthy, but one never knows when he'll give the key to the wrong person. I have appearances to keep up. Damien looked down at his satchel as he set it on the bed before him. He could feel the heat radiating from his reddened cheeks. You have no need to apologize. I understand, he said as he tried to work past the confusion of watching an illusion unravel. He got to work unlocking the satchel and removed 3 jars, each containing a word of spoken writing. The words writhed and writhed as he picked up the jars, their tendrils slamming viciously against the glass, trying desperately to latch onto him. Do you have the clients lined up? He recited the question from memory. The fact that the whole night had been scripted was not lost on him. She nodded. You are definitely your father's son, she said as she approached him and touched her hand to his arm. So much power, just like Malice, yet so much younger. Vivian met his eyes and lingered there for a moment before laughing and turning her attention to the words. She's playing me, Damien thought. I am, Vivian responded as she lifted a panel free on the far wall and placed the jars in a hidden compartment before sealing it. I have no time for games, Damien shot back as she turned around to face him. Just because you are his son does not mean you have to be so cold. I have no other business with you, Damien responded, remembering his father's warning. I don't think that's true, Vivian said as she moved closer, taking a seat on the edge of the bed. I think your father sent you for another reason. I think he means for us to talk, she said, her voice taking on an exceptionally soft tone. Why would he want us to talk? Damien inched closer, being drawn in by the calmness in her voice. Men travel from all over Meinhort to speak with me. It might not be the reason they come, but the result is still the same. She stared at her outstretched hand dismissively as she flung away the thought. And with you, I don't have to hide my words. We can talk anywhere. Damien was unaware of the transition as the illusion sunk in, its hands wrapping their way around his mind quickly, and found himself standing in the middle of a forest, a small clearing in the canopy above him shining down brilliant light from the sky. Vivian sat in front of him, seated on a stone bench, patting the open spot next to her softly with her hand. Come, Damien. Sit. And tell me of your mother. I hope you all enjoyed that chapter and check in next episode for chapter 6, The High Table. And as always, the song I used was Fluid Skate by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 License at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.